From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Prayers That God Will Answer, the first in this series of studies on the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Wilderness Communion. The text is found in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. The goodness of God sees us allured by sin, and it resolves to try upon us the more powerful allurements of love. Do we not remember when the lover of our souls first cast a spell upon us and charmed us away from the fascinations of the world? He will do this again and again whenever he sees us likely to be ensnared by evil. He promises to draw us apart, for there he can best deal with us. And this separated place is not to be a paradise, but a wilderness, since in such a place there will be nothing to take off our attention from our God. In the deserts of affliction, the presence of the Lord becomes everything to us, and we prize His company beyond any value which we set upon it when we sat under our own vine and fig tree in the society of our fellows. Solitude and affliction bring more to themselves and to their Heavenly Father than any other means. When thus allured and secluded, the Lord has choice things to say to us for our comfort. He speaks to our hearts, as the original has it. Oh, that at this we may have this promise explained in our experience, allured by love, separated by trial, and comforted by the Spirit of truth, may we know the Lord and sing for joy. 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. For many Christian people, prayer is a hit-or-miss affair. They know they should pray, but they have little idea of how to go about it. Yet the Scriptures give clear instructions about this wonderful privilege of communication with the God of heaven and earth. Especially do we find clear teaching on the subject in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. From his text in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Dr. Cairn shows that there are right ways and wrong ways to pray. Yet we have God's promise that if we pray as he commands, we know that he hears us. Now to continue this message, prayers that God will answer, here is Dr. Cairns.
If the Lord Jesus teaches us anything, he teaches us to speak honestly. To speak honestly in prayer. To speak openly. In Hebrews 4, for instance, when we are told in verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. The idea of boldness is with free speech. Uninhibited speech. Now, by uninhibited, I do not mean, as I said, gabbling and stupid and thoughtless, but I mean the lack of inhibition so that we can be honest with God. We can be honest with God. We can honestly open our hearts to the Lord. We don't, look, he sees our hearts. We don't need to try to put on a show. We're not going to fool God anyway. But let's come with honesty and speak honestly to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus is teaching us to speak humbly to the Lord. To deal with this flesh and its pride and its desire to have the commendation of man. The desire of the flesh that even prayer would serve it. The Lord Jesus is saying, deal with that and speak honestly and humbly and heartily. And if verse 8 says anything, it's saying, pray simply. Pray simply. Acknowledge your personal need in prayer. Acknowledge that the Lord can meet that need in prayer. Now, when you bring those two acknowledgments together, they will involve adoration of God and confession of sin. Those are parts of prayer. Adoration and confession. But basically they must lead us to asking. Asking the Lord to meet our need. One modern writer summed up this and the following, what's called the Lord's Prayer, in very simple language that a child could understand. As a writer, I would very rarely quote, because he was suspect in so many things. But honesty compels me to say I think he got to the heart of the matter here. And I quote, Jesus says to us, when you pray, remember that God is your Father and your King. And that therefore you go to one in whom love and power are equally combined. When you pray, do not hesitate to tell God about your daily needs. When you pray, do not shrink from telling God about your mistakes. I may add, even worse than mistakes. Your most abominable sins and crimes. When you pray, never forget to place the unknown future and all its perils in the hands of God. Now those are things that are simple enough for a child to understand. Pray simply. And usually pray briefly. There's no place where Solomon's dictum is more true, that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. C.H. Spurgeon said that it's strength, not length, that counts in prayer. I think it was Billy Bray the great Welsh roaring Methodist, great soul winner. You could write, I suppose, his theological training on your thumbnail. But when it came to knowing God and having the love of God in his heart and the power of the Holy Ghost in his life, Billy Bray, the coal miner, was one of the mightiest men that Wales produced. And when somebody asked him about praying, he gave them an illustration. He went over and he took an ornament from the shelf, a silver thing that would have to be polished. That in itself was a miracle. It showed how God had saved a penniless drunkard and at least given something he could shine. And he took it down and he dusted it off and shined it. He said, "You see, it doesn't take very long. If you do it often, it doesn't take long." And I think there's a lot of truth in that with a matter of prayer. Usually pray briefly. I was interested to read what a great Church of England preacher of the last century had to say. C.H. Waller. And Waller said that we should spend less time in prayer and more time in meditation about what we should be praying about. Instead of stumbling without a moment's preparation or without a moment's thought to gabble in the presence of God, usually meaningless, trite words, we should take time to let the Word sink down into our heart. We should take time to let the Word inform our heart. We should let our thoughts be formulated in worship, in praise, in adoration, in confession, in asking. We should let our words be formulated by the meditation, and when we know why we're there and what we're there for, we'll be able to pray more briefly. Now, this is not to save time in prayer. Actually, it may take a lot more time. But it is to save the integrity of prayer. Usually, pray briefly and often. And pray in secret. Withdraw from company and withdraw from distractions. As I've said, this is not a ban on public church prayer meetings. What happens in a prayer meeting is the church gets into its closet, as it were. It's withdrawing from the company and the distractions of the world in order that we should concentrate intensely upon the Lord. And that comes to the very heart of true prayer. And the man or the woman, whether they pretend to pray or not, the person who does not get alone with God to concentrate intensely upon the Lord is not praying. You may shut the door of the closet and bring the world inside the door with you. You may shut out the world physically and yet have such a worldly mind and a mind so worried about the things of life that you don't concentrate upon the Lord Himself. The physical aspect here is important, that you get into the closet, you shut the door. Nothing can take the place of that. The church prayer meeting can't take the place of your closet prayer meeting. The family altar cannot take the place of your closet prayer meeting. Husbands and wives should pray together and with their family. But the time you spend with your wife or your husband in prayer should not take the place of that closet time when you get alone with God and shutting out the world and the family and the business and everything else. You are intensely concentrating upon your God. Pray in secret. And as you do, aim to crucify the flesh. That's obvious here. Identify the hypocritical traits. Identify the heathen characteristics that we all must admit are natural to the flesh. Identify the pride of flesh that would rise up to poison the very place of prayer. Identify it and confess it and crucify the flesh. Aim to crucify the flesh. And of course, aim from first to last to glorify God. To glorify the Lord. This is what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. These are His instructions on the matter of how to succeed in prayer. And He tells us one final thing. He assures us that we will be heard if we pray like this. Now, follow it carefully. He warns us to avoid certain things in prayer. He instructs us to cultivate certain other things in prayer. And now He assures us that if we pray like this, we will be heard. He emphasizes that God hears prayer and God answers prayer. The word He uses, He rewards those who pray. Think of it carefully and simply. We pray to our Father. We pray to our Father. And our Father knows what we need, even before we ask Him. He knows what we need, not just what we ask. Now, emphasize the words of the Savior here. He knows what we need, not just what we ask. Think of your own family situation. When you were a child, or if you have children now, we all know what it is for a child to feel a deep need, a tremendous desire. And he'll come to his father, and he'll spill it out before him, and he'll ask. And it is a crazy father who simply gives him everything that he asks. Because what he asks is not always what he needs. There are times when his asking is the result of defective understanding, or because of a lack of maturity in his emotions or feelings, or a lack of foresight. All these things enter into the foolish asking of a child. There are times what he asks for is the right thing, but to give it at that time would be the wrong time. And it is a wise father who knows what his child needs. But when the time comes, and the father sees the need and the time have come together, and he has the means to meet the need, what good father feels to give what his child needs? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Our Father knows what we need, and He will meet our needs. It's interesting that Jesus said our Father will reward us. What is that reward? In many ways, I think that prayer is its own reward, because it affords us fellowship with God. You know, we cannot but be the better for that. I don't think that I have ever known any blessing, any thrill, any joy, any uplifting of the inner man. I have never known anything in this whole world to compare to having met with God. To have that communion with God is to walk on air.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.